This is WLVR. I'm Jen Rehill. Voter suppression has had a long and sometimes violent history in the U.S. Voting rights advocates point to purges of registration rolls, reduced access to polling places in minority areas, and restrictive voter ID laws as recent examples that can disenfranchise some groups. Hank Libanoff directs the Georgia Civil Rights Cold Cases Project at Emory University and hosts the Peabody Award-winning podcast Buried Truths. Produced by WABE in Atlanta, the first season of Buried Truths looks at voter suppression. It's the story of Isaiah Nixon, who was killed in 1948 after he cast his vote in the Democratic primary election. This was a time of widespread and often violent voter suppression. I spoke with Klibanoff about voting rights, voter suppression, and potential consequences for Lehigh Valley elections. We started our conversation with parallels he saw in the United States between that era in the late 1940s and now.
Well, I guess the first parallel is simply that voter suppression continues. It may show itself, you know, with a different face and with different levels of deception that may be, well, and clearly aren't as blatant as pulling a gun and then killing someone. It would be hard to believe that things could reach that point. I don't mean that it would never happen that someone would be killed for voting, but I'm thinking the blatancy of it. This was the same time frame. This was 1948, and then Isaiah Nixon was killed. But in the 1946 to 1948 period of time, when blacks for the first time were given the right by the U.S. Supreme Court to vote in a Democratic Party primary, the U.S. Senator from Mississippi stood up on the floor of the U.S. Senate, Theodore Bilbo, and said, well, now that, you know, and I don't think he said blacks, and I don't think he said Negroes, can vote in the Democratic Party primary, the only way to stop them is the night before. People were willing to go to great lengths there to keep African Americans from voting. And that continues to be a theme in our politics today, I would say.
I noticed in the podcast that you described racism as a political virus. I thought that was really striking, that infected the South in the 1940s. Looking at today's news coverage, things that we may be hearing from political leaders, especially at the national level, do you think that virus has seen a resurgence in the U.S.?
First of all, if I called it a political virus, and I'm sure I did because you heard it, I'm probably am wondering now why I limited it to political and to politics. Racism is a virus. It's a virus of enormous proportions in our hearts and our souls, and the difference between those who manifest racism in their daily lives and those who don't is often just those who have control of their biases and have control of their more of their darker instincts. So I do think that there is a virus of race. If it's either racism or racial conditioning that is still going on, but far, far less than what we had.
When people think about voter suppression, I think we're often thinking about the impact on like big national elections. But here in the Lehigh Valley, our 2019 election is focused more on local offices, mayoral races, judicial seats, school boards. What's the potential impact of voter disenfranchisement at the local level?
Well, in some ways, it's even greater. You know, I mean, it's in some ways, it becomes a mathematical formula when you're weighing the value of one person's vote. And you know, if you close a polling place, a precinct in a neighborhood, and it's the community school, and you move it, you know, 6 miles away, or someone has to go 6 miles in order to vote, whatever it would be, you know, there is a serious disadvantage to that neighborhood and to the candidate it might support. You know, we complain vociferously, in particular in rural areas, when our school gets closed and we have to drive, you know, quite a distance to take our kids to school, or a hospital closes and we have to take our, you know, loved one in an emergency situation much farther than we used to get them medical treatment. But it seems like the county boards of elections are able to quietly close these places or change the hours or eliminate early voting or reduce early voting without too many people raising a peep, and it can change the outcome of the election.
If folks are hearing this and they're concerned about voter suppression and other issues that may impact voting rights, what can people do to make a positive impact on the issue, whether it's a regular citizen or maybe a political leader?
That's a good question. And I would say the first thing is not accept it as a way of life that we just have to live with. And I think that, you know, Americans as voters have to be active in defending the franchise. And I'm not even taking a position, Democrat, Republican, left, right, any of that. But it's a sacred honor. I can tell you, getting to know the Isaiah Nixon family, and two other men were beat up on the same day Isaiah Nixon was killed, African-American men. And I am telling you, those families care about the vote more than anybody I've ever met in my life. I think it's worth defending the franchise, being an active voter, recruiting people to go vote, and blowing the whistle anytime you see something that doesn't look right.
Hank, thank you very much for your time today. This has been a really illuminating conversation.
Jen, I appreciate that you brought me on the air and that we had a chance to talk about these things.